So I want to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. And what got me to thinking about this, we took a trip here a few years back, went out west, and we went out to, we was out in Wyoming, we went down to Devil's Tower, what it was called, and I think I told you this before, but anyway, when you go out to it, one of the things about it is you're driving out through there, all at once it's a butte that just pops up out of the landscape, and it's there, you know, it's just nothing really else around it. Well, there was a movie that back whenever I was just got out of high school back in 1977, it came out. It was called Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And that movie came out that year. And anyway, I got to thinking about that. And if you think about it, when they're talking about close encounters of the third kind, do you know what the first kind and the second kind is? No. The first kind is if you see the spaceship. The second kind is if you see the evidence. And close encounters of the third kind means is that you have direct contact with it. And I got to think about it. I'm going to name the sermon close encounters of the Holy Ghost kind. Because you know what? Praise God, whenever I got saved, the Holy Ghost came into my life. And it still abides there today. And sometimes I know I come across it a lot in here. But I don't know that I've ever really preached about it how I want to preach about it today. What I want to tell you to do this morning is, I want you to clear your minds of everything you've been taught. I want you to understand that. Because what we're going to get into this morning, I'm going to verify with the Bible. I'm not going to try to do anything on my own, but I will verify it with the Bible this morning. And I want you to, and that's why I've entitled this Encounters of the Holy Ghost Kind this morning. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the 16th verse, and stand whenever you get there in honor of God's word, please. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, the 16th verse. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Say that again. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And my prayer and hope this morning is that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if it dwells in you this morning, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, we come thanking you, Father, for everything that you've done. We thank you, Father, for all your goodness, for your mercy. We thank you for the answered prayers down through the week, Lord. We thank you for all that you've blessed us with and how that, Father, that when you come to us, Lord, we know, Lord, that you speak to us and talk to us through your word and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for that this morning. Lord, we ask you, Father, now to be with the sermon. I pray, Father, most of all, that you would get me out of the way, Lord. I pray for the anointing this morning, and I pray that hearts would be opened and willing for this morning. We'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. Amen. I would like to talk about the works and the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. Some call it the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. The first thing I want you to understand about the Holy Ghost this morning is this. And listen, without His help, without respecting Him, without making His presence welcome in your heart and in this church, you'll never see things accomplished in your life the way God wants to accomplish them in your life. You never will. You've got to be willing to respect Him. You've got to be willing to welcome His presence into your life and into this church. Or what God has laid out for this church. We'll never see the full benefit of it without us as a church, as you as an individual, welcoming the Holy Spirit into your life and into your heart. There are certain things that can only be done through the work and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. There are only certain things. God uses people. Don't get me wrong. He uses people. But people without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in them aren't doing things the way God wants it to be done. They're doing things in the flesh. You need to understand that this morning. That's very important. You're just doing it in the natural strength whenever you do it on your own. And that will not cut it in this world that we live in today. It will not cut it. Zechariah 4:6 said this. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by my might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Things can and will be accomplished through the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the way that God intended it to be. Folks, we're fighting spiritual battles daily. There's no doubt in my mind. I fight them every day, and I'm one of those type of people that believe if I fight them every day, you're fighting them every day as well. We fight spiritual battles every day. 2 Corinthians 10:3 tells us this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Yes, we are living beings, flesh and blood, living human beings. Our battle is not with the flesh in this world. I've said this before. Our battle goes beyond that. It is a spiritual battle. We war. When we're warring not just against the flesh. We're warring against the things that are coming after the flesh. And I can tell you this, and in these battles, we need the Holy Spirit out front and center in our lives in these battles. Absolutely, we do. To lead, to guide, and direct our paths. So folks, this morning, let's make it clear. Our minds, again, I want to tell you, let's clear our minds of everything that you've been taught. Everything that you've been taught about it this morning. And let's dig into God's Word. I'm not saying everything that you taught is wrong. I'm just saying let's listen to what God's Word has to say about it this morning. The Holy Ghost works in the lives of those that are saved and those that are unsaved. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yes, it does. Yes, you heard me right. It works in the lives of those who are unsaved. And let me tell you how it works. Without the Holy Spirit convicting them, drawing them, and convincing them that they need a Savior, you will never see them turn their lives over to Jesus in the right way. Oh, I've seen people go to an altar, and you have too. I've seen them get up out of there, and I've seen them walk out and go with the same problems over and over and over. The Bible says that you must be drawn by the Spirit to be saved. If you're not drawn up here, guess what you're trying to do? You're trying to take care of it in the flesh. And what's the Bible say? You will not be able to do it. Not by your might, not by your power, but by the Spirit is how the salvation works. The new birth is not a birth of the flesh. It's a birth of the Spirit. We were all born once into this world, flesh and blood. But to be born of the Spirit is totally different. Totally different. That's why Nicodemus said it, and I preached on this here a while back. He had a hard time understanding it when Jesus told him, "Ye must be born again." There is no way around it. To get to heaven one of these days, Jesus said, he told Nicodemus, I'm telling you this morning, to be saved, you must be born again. John 6:44, no man come to me except the Father which has sent draws me. How does the Father draw? John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He's the one that guides you. He's the one that draws you. He's the one that shows you what is needed in your life. The greatest day of a person's life is when the blessed Holy Spirit comes into their life. They are saved. Can I have an amen? Sets him free. Makes you a brand new creature. And the Bible said that you are a brand new creature the moment that you get saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's how you know. Romans 8:9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man, now listen to this, have not the Spirit of God of Christ, he is none of his. That's as plain as I can tell anybody this morning. That is as plain as it gets in the Bible. If the Spirit of God is not indwelling you, you are not a Christian this morning. That's just as plain as, and I'm just telling you, again, this is what the Word of God says. In John, turn with me to John 14th chapter, if you would, please. John 14, I'm going to start with verse 16. I'm going to read down a little bit. Read with me, please. Let's start at 15. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, and ye shall also live also. But that day ye shall not know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Listen, folks, again, if you love me, keep my commandments, I pray the Father shall send you another comforter. What did he say another comforter for? When Jesus was here, he was the comforter. When he left, he prayed the Father to send another comforter. You know who that other comforter is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. That is that comforter to each and every one of us. That's why he said that. He said, I pray that. Listen, also, in the last part of verse 17, it says, and dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit is in you when you get saved. He said, he shall be in you. Underline that in your Bibles, because we'll tell you why that's so important. In verse 17, as a believer, and the Holy Ghost is in you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost wasn't in those people. It come upon them. Praise God this morning. Whenever we get saved, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit just doesn't come upon us. It dwells in us. Isn't that amazing? You go back down through and you look at Samson, you look at David, you look at Josh, you look at all the Old Testament figures. It said the Holy Ghost come upon them to do the work that is needed. As a matter of fact, did you know this? There's only one other individual in the Bible that it says they were born filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know who that was? That was John the Baptist. And Jesus said among men, there was never none greater than a prophet than John the Baptist. That's why on the day of Pentecost, praise God, Greg, he just didn't put the Holy Spirit upon us. Praise God, he sent it down to indwell in us. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? That's the kind of God that we serve. As a believer, see, you know, Simeon in the New Testament. Remember, it says that over in Luke 2. It said he was waiting for the promise. Remember that? He said, and the Holy Spirit come upon him and showed him that he would not die until he seen the promise. Same man, just and devout. Listen, what Jesus is saying was totally new. Praise God. If you're a Christian here this morning, he was talking about in you this morning. For you, it's totally new. For the Holy Ghost will now dwell in you. It will now take abode in you. It was dealt out. It was dealt out measure back then. Praise God, we can have all of it that we want. Indwelling in us, of him, of the same, up until the day of Pentecost. That's whenever it come down. And then praise God. But for the moment you get saved, the Holy Ghost dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I just read that a little bit ago. Which is in you, which ye have of God. And guess what? You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself anymore once you're saved. The Holy Ghost dwells in you, and you're not your own anymore. Praise God this morning. I'm glad when I go out of this building today, the Holy Ghost will go with me. Amen. When I go to work in the morning, the Holy Ghost will be with me. Amen. When I go to the voting booth, the Holy Ghost will be with me. Amen? Amen. When I go to get on the computer, when I go anything to whatever I do, the Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost, if you're a Christian, is with you. And it should stay with you. When you go on vacation, the Holy Ghost is with you. You don't just leave him at the house. You don't leave him here in church. He should be with you wherever you go. And being, you know what? No matter where I go, what I do, he's there. And he should be there for you as well. And being a person, and he's an, listen, I said this earlier. He is an individual. He is a person. He is an entity. He is the Holy Ghost. It's not an it. We try to make it an it to make it impersonable. But I'm telling you, we want to make him personal. We want it to be personal to us. He is a he. Can I tell you something? If your Bible says it's something else, you got the wrong Bible. He is a he. To many folks, they try to distort it. He's this, he's that. They try to distort who he is. And if you do not recognize him as a person, one of the Trinity, he will not be welcome within you. We need to welcome him as the way we'd welcome it. Listen, Sean, if I called Sarah and asked her where you was at, she wouldn't tell me it's down in the garage. Well, maybe she will. You get what I'm saying? This is how personable it should be to us as well. I don't go and Tink doesn't say it's in the back room. We don't say that stuff. We say he or she, the Holy Ghost. If we're talking about salvation, yeah, I got salvation. Yeah, I get it. If you're talking about salvation, but if you're talking about the Holy Ghost, it is a he, it is a person, it is one of the Trinity, and that's how we should introduce it to people. He lives within me. The Holy Ghost does. It's okay when referring to salvation. Yeah, I got it. I got salvation. But I got him when I got salvation because I got the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows things. Did you know that? There's only one thing in the Bible that God says, Tana, you know it just as well as Sean knows it. And this is it. It's not his will that any should perish. All of us. Everybody in here, that's God's will for everybody in here. It's not his will that anyone should perish. We know that right off the top, but there are other things in the Bible. We have no idea sometimes what's going to happen in our lives. Second Peter said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the will of God. We know that. That's beyond a shadow of a doubt. The rest of it is dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us. As a matter of fact, he knows things that we don't even know. You say, how you know that? Because God the Father directs the Holy Spirit. That's why. And my God knows everything. And my God directs the Holy Spirit. The last part of 2 Corinthians 2, 9, 11. But it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by what? By his Spirit. God reveals things to his Spirit, and then his Spirit reveals things to us. There are things that have been revealed to me. I'm not standing up here telling you I'm some kind of great guy, some kind of great prophet. That's not it. We are all like this. God reveals things to us sometimes through his word and through the working of the Holy Spirit. He does that. I'll tell you a little story. This may seem just odd to you. It may seem out of the way, but this is about quite a few years back. Me and Tink were in some financial difficulty, and we had something come up, and I was going to work. We needed some money for something, and I was going to work one day, and I've been praying about this, and she had been praying about it, and I go to walk in through by this little credit union where we had a little loan to try to make some medical payments up. As I walk by that credit union, this is no lie, God says, go in there. And in my spirit, he tells me to go in there. I go in there and I tell them my story. Guess what? I had a savings account I didn't even know I had in there that paid for what I needed. That's God. That's God. And I can tell you story after story after story. And it's not because I'm some great man of God. I'm flesh and blood like everybody else. But listen to me. The Spirit can and will use you and show you things that only the Spirit knows. Praise God this morning. When I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say sometimes. When I don't know where to go, when I don't know what's troubling others, can I tell you this morning, I know somebody that does know this morning. And he can reveal it to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit can reveal it to his someone or to me. And we can pray the way that God wants us to pray for it. When it comes to how I should pray for something, listen to me. There have been times I had no idea how to pray for something. The Bible tells us through the Spirit, he said he will do the praying for us. Amen? Exactly right. There are times that happened because he's there. There's a time I met, but I say to you, God knows. The Holy Spirit through God helps all of these things I mentioned above. He will do that. He will help in all if we just listen to him. That's the biggest problem we have, Greg. We do not listen to the Holy Spirit. We will not listen to it sometimes. Why? Because we're still in these bodies of flesh. And there are times we think that we know better. And the Holy Spirit is trying to whisper to us, is trying to talk to us and get us to the point to where, listen to him. He will help you if you're willing to listen to him. Not just to show you all the wrong. And again, I do this a lot too. The Holy Spirit will convict you. But do you know that the Holy Spirit is there to help you as well? To guide and show you and direct you in other things? He is. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, is Jesus. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you. Do you ever need a piece of Scripture and you had no idea where it was at? Holy Spirit's trying to show you and give it to you. Someone who does not have the Holy Spirit living within them will not understand what I'm saying here this morning. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I cannot make you understand spiritual things this morning if you are not in a spiritual realm. You will not understand it. You can't understand it, because God is trying to talk. That's why I said, this is a close encounter of the Holy Ghost kind. Well, I actually have felt him and know what I'm talking about here this morning. Praise God. He is the distributor of gifts. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 12. Turn there and let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the Spirit, same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, and to another, diverse kind of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these, now this last verse is important, but all these things worketh that one and self-same Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, dividing unto men severally as he will. Do you see that? As he will, as the Holy Ghost will, as the Holy Spirit will. He's the one that gives out these gifts. He does it. He has a will for each of us. Everybody in here, each of us has a gift that has been dwelt within us by the Holy Ghost. The moment that you are saved, you have a gift that the Holy Ghost will give to you. And these gifts are not to be taken lightly. They're not to be making fun of. They're not to be put aside. These gifts are real. Amen. Amen. Gifts have been given to us as tools to be used for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to glorify the God that has sent the Holy Ghost down here to glorify God, to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That is what they are for. Unfortunately, too many of these gifts have been tried to glorify man. And as I said earlier, these gifts done in the flesh, they are not of the Spirit. for the glory of God. And if you don't use the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to you, that gift will be shut down. I wanted you to understand that. The Holy Ghost has a mind. Turn with me to Romans 8, if you would please. Romans 8, 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to get his church, I want you to understand this. The Holy Ghost is the one who's living down here right now to do what needs to be done on this earth. Amen? One day Jesus is coming back. And then we ain't going to have no need for all this. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But right now he sent that comforter down here to do the work that needs to be done here on this earth. The Holy Ghost is the one that's doing it. He will remind us. He will show us what's needed to be done, to get it done. He'll bring scripture to our minds, like I said earlier. He's the one who will tell you when to pray for somebody. Have you ever got, I know I've heard people say this in here, you got woken up in the middle of the night to pray for somebody and you had no idea why they needed prayed for. You ever had that done to you? You ever done it? Yes. And why? You find out later why. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost trying to stir it up inside of you to show you somebody needs prayer. Somebody needs help. That's why that is. The next time you get woke up in the middle of the night thinking about somebody, get up out of there and pray for them. Amen. He's the one who tells you to do that. And you find out you will never experience true love. Can I say this? Until the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, you will never experience it. A love that goes beyond anything that we can ever comprehend. No matter how bad somebody treats you, you still love them. That's the love of God. That's the love of the Spirit does. Romans 15, 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, faith, meekness and temperance. And it goes on to end it with this. Against such there is no law. I could make all the laws in the world saying I've got to love Greg Phillips. But you know what? If the Spirit of God is not in my heart, if Greg did something wrong to me or if I did something wrong to him, that would never happen. That's why it goes beyond the law. He's holy. We call him the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. People grieve it. But he is holy. Always remember that that the holy being that he is living within you in this vessel right here. Remember that. Remember that he's living it. He sees what you see. He hears what you hear. He knows what you know. Now let that sink in for a little bit. He is holy. He abides in you. Romans 8, 14. He leads you, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He should be leading your life. He should be leading every one of us here this morning that call ourselves Christians. The Holy Spirit is divine. Theologians don't want me to say that. You know that? The Holy Spirit is divine. Yes, it is. You know what divine means? The Holy Spirit, the divinity, something that comes from a supernatural power or deity such as God. It comes from God. It is God. It is one of the Trinity. Amen. Praise God this morning. It is divinity. It is divine. The Holy Spirit is. Yes, the Holy Ghost is divine, and it lives in a Christian's life. Amen. It lives in there. Thanks be to God for his treasure. And you know what Ephesians said, or 2 Corinthians 4:7 tells us? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Praise God. We have the treasure of the Holy Ghost, Ron, in these earthen vessels. That should make you shout and praise God this morning, because divinity is living within you. What it does, it causes these earthen vessels to give a testimony sometimes. It causes us to sing songs sometimes and praise His name. It causes some people to shout and run to church. Amen. It causes others just to sit there and cry. It causes some just to lift their hands without saying a word. Enable some to teach, enable some to preach. That's what that the gift of the Holy Ghost does in these earthen vessels. That's what it does. He will never tell you a lie. Never. John 14, Jesus called Him the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit will never lie to you. So if you hear somebody stand up and say, well, the Spirit told me to do it, and it doesn't happen, well, guess what? Amen. Amen. You don't say something that the Spirit told you to do unless the Spirit is telling you. And if the Spirit is telling you, it will be truth. It doesn't happen. Guess what? It wasn't right. People can try and justify many things. They try and justify many things. After they've made a mess of something, they'll stand up and say, the Lord led me. The Lord led me to do it. Or the Spirit said I could do it. I wish I had listened to him. What they should have been saying, I wish I had listened to the Spirit to begin with. Amen? And preachers are the worst of the lot. I'm going to stand and tell you the truth. They are the worst of the lot. You get into a good service and the Spirit's moving. And just to say you get into a service good in 10 minutes and the Spirit starts to move. People are testifying. And God puts upon your heart to say, we need to have an altar call right now. But your ego says, no, you need to get up there and preach. I've studied all week and these people need to hear what I got to say. And you quash the Holy Spirit right then. And there could have been somebody back there that the Spirit was dealing with. And they could have come to that altar right then. And they could have been saved. And you know what? Because of some preacher's pride and arrogance, it doesn't happen. And there are other ones that other times there are preachers that they just want to get the service over as fast as they can because their kids are getting squirmish, because the places where we eat are getting full, and we need to get there. And you might as well just take a hammer to the Holy Spirit right then because you've crushed it. And there could have been somebody in here that maybe needed that extra 5 minutes or an extra couple minutes, and you just crushed it just like that. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit does lead, guide, and direct. We've got to put pride aside sometimes. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, no. No. We need to be obedient to the Spirit. The Spirit does not lie. The Spirit does lead. If you get into a big hurry, I'm telling you, it will not make a difference if you get into a big hurry. It will not. Listen. Romans 8:9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, again, he is none of his. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 16, and I will pray that the Father will give you another comforter that he may abide in you forever. The gospel is spread through the dealing of the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? That's how it's spread. That's how the gospel is spread, through the dealing of the Holy Ghost. Over in Acts, it tells us that he said, you'll be a witness to me in all parts of the world because of the Holy Ghost. He said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father hath put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both unto me and to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's how the gospel is spread. Greg had mentioned earlier about missionaries. Well, I can tell you this. Those missionaries led by the Holy Ghost are the ones that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You being led of the Holy Ghost is how the gospel is spread in your little part of the world. And it will do that for us. I hope and pray this morning that, you know, like I said, not everything that we've been taught, not everything that we've been taught is wrong. But I'll tell you something, brothers, that we need to dig into this as much as we can and let the Spirit guide and direct us in our paths on it. You know, as they come and get a song this morning, I ask you this morning, have you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? Have you asked Him if He's dealing with you this morning, if the Spirit's dealing with you? And if He's dealing, I'm asking you this morning, please come this morning. Come up here this morning. Let the Spirit deal and let it work in your life this morning, as only He can do.